I don't usually do this, but this is a sermon that I've preached before. And I think just like we find it worthwhile to reread these scriptures and retell the story of Christ's birth each year, there may be some value to listening again. But I think it will be a little different this time. Yes, I made some changes, some updates, and I'm thinking that maybe it will go a little different this time, or at least I'm hoping so. So last year I preached this sermon on December 17th, and I remember it because it was my nephew's birthday, and it was also the day that we had designated to dedicate my daughter, Miss Naomi Lawrence, to the Lord. And so it was a bit of a special service in addition to it being Advent. It was a service where we expected some guests. Of course, my parents were here, but also relatives from Steve's side of the family came to be part of our commitment to nurturing faith and sharing spirituality with Naomi as she learns and grows. And, you know, Steve's family, they go to different kinds of churches, so I was hoping they would feel comfortable here. And I had also asked our former wonderful conference minister, Michael Danner, to come here and to kind of facilitate or officiate the dedication service so that it wasn't just like me blessing my daughter and my husband and me and my church. So all this is to say there was a bit of like added pressure to the service in a good way. It was an exciting service for me at least. And also, since we were having guests, we had decided to host a special potluck after the service. And so everything was going well in the service as far as I knew. I had got up and I had started preaching this sermon. And lo and behold, right smack dab in the middle of the sermon, something happened that had never happened before, which was that our fire alarm started going off. And it works. This is like a real facility. In our house, our smoke detectors are kind of loud, but this is like, you know, a professional building. And so it was very loud. But in the moment, you know, I was kind of like, you're not super logical in the moment. I'm like, maybe I can just preach really loud. It was just a fleeting thought that if I just really project my voice, I could keep going. But, you know, I really couldn't compete. So I just stopped and tried to remain calm up here for what felt like an eternity while like Janice and Lonnie and Doug were like, I don't know who else were trying to deal with the issue heroically. It just turned out to be, I don't know, some kind of grease in the oven or something like that. So it finally stopped, but like the flow of my sermon was just like, you know, different. And I think I said hallelujah and just resumed preaching. But then it was interrupted again when the firefighters came in. And it went off again very briefly. And so Michael Danner, he very graciously said something about trying to listen a little closer when things like that happen, like the enemy might be trying to stop us from hearing the message. But I suppose this like fire alarm situation might be a good metaphor about, you know, dealing with unexpected things and challenges and raising up children. And also maybe a metaphor about Christ's kind of interruption of not just Mary's life, but the whole world order. And so many of you were here, some of you were here, but I don't know how well you could hear. I asked my mom if she remembered the sermon, and she was like, well, I remember the alarm. So this is the Magnificat of Mary. It's from Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. And it is a moment where Mary is singing a song of praise as she reaches her relative's house, her relative Elizabeth, after learning that she's pregnant. And so that's where we are. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For you have looked with favor on the lowliness of your servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. Your mercy is for those who fear you from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. You have brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have helped your servant Israel in remembrance of your mercy according to the promise you made our ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah and to their descendants forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is indeed a Christmas story, as Mary sings her song after finding out she's pregnant and going to visit her relative. You know the story, right? Say, in the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. And when she first encounters this angel, she is perplexed. She doesn't know what kind of message he has or how this encounter will go. But the angel says the Lord is pleased with her and tells her she is going to have this divine baby who will be a great leader with an endless kingdom. He also tells her that her elderly and previously childless relative, Elizabeth, is miraculously 6 months pregnant, as another sign of God's power. And so Mary listens to his words and says, she is the servant of the Lord. And so the next thing Mary does is go check and see what's going on with Elizabeth. She wants to see for herself. So she has the assertiveness and the wits about her to go and get her things together. Although I imagine her hands shaking a little as she packed her things to travel to her relative. And she had the strength and courage to get going. So she went. So I notice and love how Mary went to another woman who knew and believed her, who provided her refuge and sanctuary during what might have been an overwhelming time. And Elizabeth is the perfect one to share her joy in overcoming, because Elizabeth spent her life being less than and excluded because she had never had children. And that is what women were supposed to do back then. That was how their value was measured. But God, as God is wont to do, reverses her social status and lifts her up from the social ditches and off the sidelines and into the game, as Mary will sing. When Elizabeth sees Mary coming, the child in her womb, who happens to be John the Baptist, the same one we studied last week, who calls people to justice, the child in her womb leaps for joy as Elizabeth shouts out a friendly greeting, this greeting of honor to Mary, this greeting that overturns social expectations, that Mary is unmarried and pregnant, but she is not given judgment and shame. She is given mercy and love. And so it was only after quite a journey to get to Elizabeth, after getting this joyous affirmation from her, after this time of incubation and reflection, that she makes this bold declaration that Mary is able to authentically praise God in this iconic, jubilant, and effervescent song. It is as if in that moment, everything that has been percolating in Mary bubbles forth, and she knows that all this is real. Elizabeth's affirmations embolden her to speak her truth and praise God with zeal. And what a truth it is. Friends, this is no fluffy, superficial praise song. She radically condemns injustice and oppression and proclaims a new good world through God. Worldly riches do not determine your worth. God loves and helps those that struggle. She testifies as she personally has experienced the transformative healing and hope that is of God. And some have said that Mary's song is a political manifesto that critiques empires and claims power for God and not worldly kings or those who have riches. And they have called her a prophet. And if you look at our other scriptures where we see God calling prophets, if we look at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Moses, even Jonah, you know, we can see that they have some of these same elements in their story. So they each have a call where God calls them, and they have a task that they are given, an assignment. And they have an objection. They don't think they're good enough for this task. They try to evade their task. Then God gives them reassurance. God says, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you will. And then there is the acceptance. This is the prophetic formula. Call, task, objection, reassurance, acceptance. Mary has all the ingredients in the prophetic formula. Proclaim, she does. Do not let familiarity with the scriptures muffle its majesty. And everything she says, as with the other prophets, is ongoing. God has done these things, but the birth of Christ was still coming. The second coming is still coming. And so we anticipate and celebrate again each year. May we be impregnated with the word of God. May we bring forth the glory of this world, birthing Christ into this world. May we too sing these praises. She shared the good news. Mary was a peasant girl, but she knew God. Imagine living in some developing country, or even living in this country and being poor, and thinking that maybe you were poor because this is what God wants for you. Imagine thinking maybe God is testing me with poverty and struggle, or maybe I'm not smart enough to have the resources I need to live well, or I've done something wrong to be poor and punished, and the rich are divinely deserving. Imagine thinking like that, and then hearing a gospel that said God favors the poor and the oppressed, that Christ is coming to challenge structures of sin, evil, death, and the devil, to lift up the lowly and bring healing and justice. And so her words echo in our ears, and her song is written on our hearts. You know that story, right? Do you ever find yourself singing a song and you don't know quite where it came from? Once I was getting my child ready for bed, and I found myself humming, done so many things wrong, I don't know if I can do right. I was kind of in a melancholy mood, a kind of gloomy, a peaceful gloom. I was weary, and I thought of John the Baptist and us as his vipers. And so I sang the words, and I don't know if you know this song. It's a Tracy Chapman song. And so I decided to, that's right, YouTube, Google. I hadn't heard it for so long. And so I listened to it, and I sang along, and I realized that I knew all the words to the song. And I knew all the words despite the fact that I hadn't listened to the song for over 10 years. And so the words were really nicer than what it might seem from the hook that I sang. I think they're really good words for Advent, words of reflection and hope. So she sings, "At this point in my life, I'd like to live as if only love mattered, as if redemption was in sight, as if the search to live honestly is all that anyone needs, no matter where you find it. You see, when I've touched the sky, the earth's gravity has pulled me down. But now I've reconciled that in this world, birds and angels get the wings to fly. If you can believe in this heart of mine, if you can give it a try, then I'll reach inside and find and give you all the sweetness that I have." So it's a song about being honest about your failures and hoping, trying to be a better person. It's a song that is in touch with the sorrows and struggles in a person's life, and yet their desire to be community and to share love and to live in a better way. It's like it was a part of me that I reconnected with when I heard this song. And so every year, you know, we try to reconnect with this incredible story of the birth of Christ. But after I listened to that one song, I was kind of juiced up. And so, you know, I started listening to all the songs on the album, the New Beginnings album. And I found out that I knew all the words to all the songs, despite the fact that I haven't listened to the album since high school. And so as a high schooler, I think there were certain songs, certain albums that I listened to over and over again. I don't know if we listen to albums like this in the same way. But I listened to certain ones over and over, like Kaya by Bob Marley, a collection of Aretha Franklin's greatest hits, Dummy by Portishead, like Water for Chocolate by Common, Mama's Gun by Erykah Badu, all these albums, some Parliament album. I could go on. What were you listening to in high school? Is it a part of you? Did it impact your life and your outlook and your identity? I could talk about different periods of music in my life, but none were as formative, I think, as those albums from high school. And I wonder how deeply the words and rhythms of these albums have influenced my life even up until today. How much I have taken them in and internalize them throughout my life. And so all this is to say that it matters what we listen to, what we hear, and what intentions and energies are sown into us from a young age. They inform the narratives of our lives. They influence our trajectory of our journey. And so the Bible stories I grew up with, the storybooks, the storytelling tapes I listened to, the songs, they become a part of who you are. You know, Catholics go through life praying the Hail Mary all the time. "Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Maybe they do it so that it becomes a part of you, so like your flesh and bone is a part of you. So I tell you today, make the Word of God a part of you, something you live and breathe, because indeed it is life eternal itself. When you do this with Scripture, when you learn it and read it and read it and recite it, so that it becomes a part of you. When we retell the Christmas story, this is a phenomenon that Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann calls traditioning. And it means letting the words of the biblical tradition indwell in you through use, through repetition, allowing that vital lifeblood of faith words to enable us to inhabit the alternative that is God's vision of what is. You feel it, inhabit it, live it before you give way to wholly rational and analytical categories. And so we can tradition songs, we can tradition scriptures, we can tradition prayers, thoughts, hopes, affirmations, negations. These things become a part of us. And so I think it matters too what Mary was doing with Jesus even while he was still in utero, when he was indwelling her womb, even while Jesus was an embryo, and when he was a fetus, she was sowing into him praise for the Lord. She was testifying as to what wonderful things God has done. This faithfulness impacted the life of Jesus. Her words of praise echoed in the ears of the Son of Man throughout his life. Broderick Greer, an Episcopalian priest, says that the powerful and prophetic words of Mary nurtured in Christ his prophetic nature, and he inherited his revolutionary proclivities, at least in part, from her. What we say and what we sow into our children matters, which is why it matters that we declare our intentions over our children and set them on a spiritual path. Yes, they have to walk it themselves, and they might not always take the turn that we would take, but that's where we have to trust in God. God knows what God is doing. What our parents nurture in us runs deep. And it maybe wasn't always what we wanted or what we needed, but it's in us. And for some of us, it's been a while since we have been children. It's not up to our mamas to commend us to the Lord anymore. It's up to each of us to take that on and to magnify the Lord. And we have to nurture ourselves in the way that Mary nurtured her firstborn. And I know that many of you have maybe dedicated your lives to God before, but today and all days, you have a chance to do it again, to rededicate yourselves to the Lord. This is a practice that we can do our whole life long. If you were to hold yourself in your own womb, what song would you sing? Man, get with the metaphor. Don't act funny. This is the Word of God. Situate yourself within the womb of God. Surround yourself with the darkness of immaculate love. Nourish yourselves in the amniotic fluid of God's grace and the warmth of mercy. Feel the pulsing echo of peace. What praise would you proclaim? Yes, my brothers and sisters, let us dedicate ourselves today to the Lord our God, to magnify the goodness of the Lord based on the model of Mary. Do you think that Mary knew all that this birth would bring? Do you think that she knew this divine child would become a holy man who would teach us a whole new way of living? Did she know his death would save humanity and offer us hope? She could have justifiably been anxious or stressed out. She could have been cast out from society, shamed, let alone all the discomforts and concerns of pregnancy. But see, faith, the path of faith, helps you when you are going through your greatest challenges. So she didn't know everything that was to come or where her road would lead, but she knew that the Lord would be with her. And so it's good to have faith. And she knew the nature of the Lord. Life is full of the unknown, but we magnify the Lord. Look to Mary when your worries come upon you. Is it possible that your stresses and uncertainties could merely be birth pangs for the bringing forth of wonderful new things? Things are not falling apart, but making space to build. And so I've felt particularly closer to Mary since becoming a parent. I thought of her in those dark nights where I would nurse my baby and wonder how it was that she nursed little Jesus. And did he cling to her and put his little feet on her thighs? And I wondered as I rocked and rocked, did she rock her baby to sleep? And did he melt into her shoulder and grow heavy in her arms? And I think if she magnified the Lord at her pregnancy, how much more must she have rejoiced with every sacred smile and divine giggle and holy hand wave? We must cultivate this type of intimacy with the Lord, this type of closeness. This is what we await in Advent. You know, I could look at Mary and say, wow, I could never be that sure about my vision. I could never be so strong or righteous, virtuous. But Mary didn't come to highlight our failures of faith. She came to proclaim our potential. And though we could never be Mary, we are called to be like Mary. We are called to accept the plan of God. We are called to incubate the incarnation and bear the word of God. We are called to proclaim the goodness of the Lord and to partner with God in bringing forth justice and truth and peace into this world. This is the work of the one who said yes to God.